particular newspaper, and whether you thought that particular newspaper would ever give you the whole story on any particular issue, I'm not sure. But of course, it says to us, is a reminder to us that we need the whole story, none can doubt. And as Christians, that is true particularly. We face many, many challenges in the Christian life, and you'll know that in your own life. I don't know what it is for you at the particular stage you are, and in the place where God has placed you in life, in his wisdom, the things that he's brought into your life. Perhaps dullness is an issue, just the same week in, week out. Perhaps tiredness is an issue, exhausted physically and spiritually as well. Maybe temptation is an issue, something that you never thought would be a problem for you. You're aware now actually has become a problem in recent months or years. Maybe distraction is a problem. Diary, calendar, crammed full already for the year. Or distracted by an idea you'd love to be able to implement, a project in that way. Maybe for you it's a little bit of light Western persecution. Comments from family which finally get to you. Never used to, but now they do. Or maybe for you it's anxiety, that worry eats you up for a whole variety of reasons, maybe very understandable ones, and that Christ is in danger of slipping behind those worries and anxieties that threaten to take over. There are many, many challenges for us as individuals, and many challenges too for us as churches, and this is absolutely normal fare in the Christian life. And in each of these situations, in fact in every situation, what we really need is to be reminded of the whole story. That what is in front of us, in other words, what we can see, is only ever half the picture. And it's never the most important thing. We need the whole story. That was actually true for the Christians to whom John was writing. You'll see that he himself is writing from a position of suffering. He'd been exiled to this island, Patmos. And he speaks in verse 9 of the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. And he writes to these Christians in a variety of places because he wants to help them. And the way he'll help them is by telling them the whole story, by encouraging them to live life not just seeing what is right in front of them, living life not just by what they can see with their eyes, but living life with the eye of faith that is able to see what is unseen to others around them. In other words, able to live life with the whole story in view. We desperately need to be reminded of what is going to happen. And this wonderful book, which God gave for these churches and for us also, will help us in that way. Chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. This knowledge of what is going to take place, which God reveals in the book of Revelation, I think it's like having access to a map when you're in a car. If you don't have a map or access to a map, you can set off in the car on a destination, but you may well get lost en route, or at least take many more highways and byways than you needed to. With a map or access to a map, it helps you to get to the end. You know the destination. You know where you're heading. And as Christians, when we've got the whole picture in mind, particularly when we can see the end of the story, it helps us to see the destination. It helps us to be clear where we're heading to. And that's really what the book of Revelation will enable us to know. It helps us to see what the dangers are en route, what the difficulties that we need to negotiate our way through are, so we're not taken by surprise. And particularly, it helps us to know where we're heading and what that end point is. And what he tells them, in what John tells the Christians in the rest of chapter 1, is what lies at the center of the whole story. And quite simply, it's this magnificent vision of the risen, reigning Lord, one and only Jesus Christ. Just have a look at verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Son of man, which was a phrase used in the book of Daniel to speak of the great ruler who would come to rescue his people. We're told in verse 13 he was dressed in a robe, in other words, clothed like a dignitary. We're told he also has verse 14, white hair. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, perhaps to denote his eternal wisdom. He has blazing eyes that penetrate to the hearts of men, eyes that are able to see exactly what happens on earth and to inform his judgments. We're told, verse 15, that his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, perhaps speaking of his strength, the stability of the direction of his life. And that he had his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In other words, as loud as a mighty waterfall. We read at the end of verse 16 there, that out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. For here is the one given all authority by God to be the judge of all. Here is the one who will judge every individual, who will judge every situation. And here is the one whose face gives light to all. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. In other words, this picture that John puts up straight away of Jesus is the one on whom we need to fix our eyes. He is the one who will get us to the end of the road. And the simple summary of the book, my summary of the book, is that Jesus wins. Sort of spoiler alert. Jesus wins. Because really what John is saying to us is that the force is with this person. If you stay with him, you will not be mistaken. If in your troubles, your disappointments, your difficulties, your dangers, individually and as a church, you will not be mistaken, for he is powerful to help and willing to help, which is the lovely thing about it. Verse 13, we see that among the lampstands are the churches that he's writing to, and right among them stands the risen, reigning Jesus. In other words, he's not distant. He's not far off. He may be powerful, but he's not without empathy or understanding. He loves his people and will be with them. He's with us this weekend and wants to strengthen us, whatever the condition of your hearts and whatever the condition of St. Saviour's or St. Nick's. He wants to strengthen his people and help us to be those who endure to the end. John's reaction is natural enough. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." At the center of the whole story stands this mighty conqueror who will one day bring his people home. And as we'll see tomorrow morning, he is both powerful enough to judge those who are against him, but also compassionate enough and near enough to help those who call on him. And I hope that over the course of this weekend, you'll be perhaps re-motivated to call on him, encouraged as you see more of what he's like, and that you are re-energized to call to him to be the one who will bring you home and us home as a group together. So I hope it's very encouraging for you. It's certainly been an encouragement to me in preparation. And what we're going to do is just spend one talk tomorrow looking at the churches in chapters 2 and 3, and then get into some of the more difficult bits in the chapters after that. Shall I say a prayer? Our Heavenly Father, you alone know the condition of each of our hearts and all of us here together, and we do pray that you would strengthen us as we need. We thank you so much for this magnificent picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that from his limitless resources, he would strengthen us. We ask that he would turn our hearts to him. We ask that he would open our eyes to him. And we pray that he might bend our wills towards his will. Please, we pray, would you be with us here as you promised to be? Would you strengthen us? Would you work within us to make us into those who are better able to persevere, to endure with great joy and in joyful service of you all of our days, in Jesus' name. Amen.